and welcome to our Compass Catholic podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We teach what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. We'll teach you how to budget, how to save, how to invest, and I guess the real important one, how to reduce and eliminate your debt altogether, no matter how small, no matter how large your debt may be. Learn more about our ministry and how we can help you. Simply go to CompassCatholic.org. I'm Steve Holbrook, and joining me as always, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, unfortunately, this beautiful holiday that we're into to celebrate the birth of our Savior has turned into one big, let's call it, sales event for retailers. Yeah, Christmas has been hijacked and has become a heavily marketed secular event.
I don't understand why you would say that. You mean the pressure to wow family and friends with presents and decorations and have this unbelievable Christmas dinner is enough to cause stress for weeks and weeks as people worry and prepare?
I agree with you, John. It just seems like everything is off track about Christmas. And there's also that additional stress for a month afterwards as people deal with their credit card bills that they racked up in an order to make everybody happy at Christmas, right?
Ye old credit card bill.
You know, one of the things I've noticed that it seems like Christmas gets earlier and earlier every year. I call that Christmas creep.
Oh, okay. I was wondering who you were going to call a creep.
But it just seems like Christmas gets moved into October anymore. You know, last year I was shopping at one of our big box stores 2 weeks before Christmas. And there were two shelves of Christmas items, and the rest of it was Valentine's Day. But when
Whoa. Valentine's Day?
Yes. 2 weeks before Christmas.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I was shopping.
You lost me there.
I was shopping at the big box store 2 weeks before Christmas.
Okay.
And there were only two shelves of Christmas stuff, and the rest of it was all Valentine's Day.
In December,
because they started the Christmas shopping in October. So by the time Christmas came around, there wasn't any more Christmas stuff to buy.
I think you need to be more discerning about which stores you go to.
They're all like that. I mean, how many times have you seen Halloween costumes on one side of the aisle and Christmas trees on the other side because everything starts in October?
It's called being proactive. It's all red. Santa's suit is red.
But it just seems like there's so much focus on the secular aspects of Christmas anymore. And there's all those horror stories about Black Friday.
Yeah, you know, I was reading that this year the checkout lines were 20 people deep. They weren't moving. And you had a whole bunch of grouchy people who hadn't showered, hadn't shaved, hadn't brushed their teeth. Just, that's just a whole ugly picture. And, you know, they were that way because they were in such a rush to get out and go shopping.
You know, I was reading some stories about the frenzy of Black Friday, and it reminded me of a scene from the movie Jingle All the Way. And the scene is about two characters that got into a fight on Christmas Eve because they both wanted the season's most popular toy, and they resorted to lying, stealing, wrestling, and even bomb threats to get the toy.
All right.
And the movie's probably exaggerated for the sake of humor, but there's so much truth in how people behave badly at this time of year.
Yeah, I think everybody is trying to score the best deal, to get the greatest discount, to buy the best present. And that's not even talking about Cyber Monday.
You know, it's amazing, though, you talk about Black Friday. I saw some retail statistics where they talked about that the retail in-store was down, I think, 5%.
For Black Friday.
Compared to last year.
5% is not much.
No, but the internet was up almost 20% on that day. So people are celebrating Black Friday from home.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
No, you avoid the crowds. But it goes back to what you said. It's you got to go out and shop. That's their focus on that day.
But I think also that the stores are focused on Cyber Monday, even for Black Friday. They were already advertising deals, Cyber Monday deals, on before Thanksgiving started.
Oh, yeah. So, and that's what amazes me about Black Friday. Everything is slashed 50% before they even start.
It's all in a way to get us to buy, to
yes.
spend.
Okay.
And that's all the ways that things get out of control and Christmas gets off track. It's interesting that Cyber Monday was created back in 2005 because the internet companies noticed that people were returning to work after the Thanksgiving holiday and using the office network to go online on a shopping binge. So the retailers...
That's real productive.
Well, you know how many people at work use their internet. I mean, before things got really racked up at home, people were using the computers and the networks at work to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So the retailers did their biggest internet promotions on the Monday after Thanksgiving, and a trend, a kind of an organic trend, was turned into another marketing frenzy, encouraging us to shop more.
So the whole thing is totally out of control. You know, people wait past the Thanksgiving weekend to get the best deals. On Monday, the orders flood in, the websites are strained, the warehouses are pushed to the limit to be able to deliver all of these packages in a timely manner. You're right, Evelyn. It's just a total mess.
You know, it's really not a good business practice for the online retailers either, because if their orders swell to hundreds the times of the usual amount, it's bad for the website, and it's really inefficient from a business perspective, because they have to prepare for that huge one-day increase that only comes once a year. And the thing is, they created all this chaos themselves, and now they're stuck shipping all these orders to the customers in a timely manner. So they've created chaos in their own business model, but they've done it to themselves.
You know, it's like Steve said, Christmas sales can equal up to 50% of their annual profits. So it's a make or Christmas season is a make or break kind of a period of time, a very short period of time, financially for the retailers. Black Friday isn't black because they want to be in the red. They want to have that seasonal spirit. They don't want the red ink on their books, and that's why it's Black Friday. They're trying to make sure they're getting profits.
Another thing that I've noticed about Christmas getting hijacked is making Christmas not Christmas. So we're talking about all of the verbiage that we've changed over the years, because after generations of growing consumerism, Christmas has become a target of people who are intent on stripping away the religious aspects of Christmas and all the symbols in our society that relate to the spiritual aspects of Christmas.
People are not content to live and let live. You know, I think it really boils down to that. If it's not their way, it's wrong.
Correct.
And if you're agnostic or you're atheistic and you don't want to celebrate Christmas, that's fine. We're not going to, you know...
Criticize,
that's a good word. You know, we're not going to criticize you. Christmas has been going on for an awful long time.
Like about 2018 years.
Why put up such a fuss? You know, the cities are getting injunctions against nativity scenes. The schools ban Christmas carols and Christmas plays. And it's hard to find a Christmas card that has a spiritual message to it.
You're right, it is.
We don't have Christmas break anymore. We have winter break.
And or the
we
have holiday break.
Holiday or, yeah. break, yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, the word Christmas is being avoided by the secularists, because they want to make sure they're not offending anybody. Actually, they're offending me.
I think that people, like John said earlier, just want things their way. If I think this way, then everybody in the world needs to think this way, or they're wrong. There's no gray anymore. It's either black or white.
Right.
I'm right, therefore you're wrong. I mean, we see that all the time in politics, too. Not to get off the subject. But really, you know, robbing Christmas of its true meaning just gives more focus to the buying and commercial aspects of the holiday. And the good news of Jesus' birth is buried under all the commercialism. So as Catholics, we really need to maintain the ideals of what Christmas is all about, which is peace, goodwill, charity, and love.
And these ideals are totally opposite of the consumer focus that really characterizes the season today. You know, it's just I don't know how to say it any other, you know, make it any worse. It's just totally opposite.
So the question that I have just 2 weeks away from Christmas is, how do you unhijack Christmas? I mean, how do you get into the mentality and not being sucked in by the consumerism?
How do you unhijack Christmas? I like that word, Steve. Well, I think it's important for us to go back and look at some of the Christmas traditions and how they originally had religious meanings and religious starts. Because if we understand that, then we can help our children and our grandchildren understand that it's not about Santa Claus. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the trees and the lights. Those things all have a deeper spiritual meaning that we really need to understand and appreciate, and maybe honor is a good way to do that.
So it's a task for the parents to educate the children.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, start at a very young age that it's not about the mall.
It's not about the mall.
It's not about going online. It's not about Amazon.
Right.
Okay.
It's
but
about,
you know,
Jesus.
I wonder if the parents are capable of educating the children.
Because they were never educated.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, the people today have been experiencing, you know, the younger people today, those up to maybe age 30, have experienced this kind of Christmas atmosphere, or better said, non-Christmas atmosphere,
right,
their entire lives.
True.
So how are they going to be able to educate their own children about what the true meaning is? It's going to take a lot of work.
It will take a lot of work. And for the parents and grandparents listening today, make an effort to teach your children and grandchildren about the true meaning of Christmas. Look for those opportunities to bring Christ back into this special time of the year. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal, our Christmas gift to you, is to help you, to show you how to reduce and eliminate your debt altogether. And we do this in our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Check it out at CompassCatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic, join me today, and we are attempting to help you release yourself from being hijacked from Christmas. And Evelyn, let's get into some ideas that will help us get back to remembering Jesus. Not the malls, not the online shopping at Christmas.
So one of the traditions that we need to refocus on is the tradition of gift giving. You know, that really started on the first Christmas when the wise men gave Jesus the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then it continued in the 4th century as the richer people were giving essential items such as food and clothing to the needy people. But now it's become the exchange of non-essential gifts to the not-so-needy people. You like that?
You know, in other words, it's a charitable tit-for-tat gift exchange.
And you know that so many times that does turn into a tit-for-tat thing. It's like, well, if they bought me something, I have to buy them something. And if they spent $30 on my gift, I should spend $30 on their gift. And there's all this like scorekeeping is the only way I can think of to say it on the gift exchange when that's really not what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, we just got invited to a Christmas party. We're supposed to bring gifts no more than $10 each,
mm-hmm,
so we can have an exchange.
It's one of those Chinese gift exchanges,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun when you're with that group of people. I know you hate that.
You're getting two, because we go together as a couple. We get two $10 gifts that are...
No, we got a $10 gift certificate to Chick-fil-A last year. That was good.
And when have you used that?
Not yet.
She was just thinking of buying you lunch. Well, go ahead and ruin it.
But, you know, the media hype around gift giving is absolutely ridiculous. I can guarantee you, Steve, that if John ever parked a white car in our driveway with a big red bow on it, he would be in big trouble.
Okay. My follow-up question is, what color do you want?
Red or black?
I mean, seriously, who can afford to give somebody unexpectedly? Which spouse would spend that kind of money without discussing it first? That's ridiculous.
You know, somebody has. I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. Sure,
absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I guess there's some rich people who can actually afford that. But that's not
exactly.
Even the typical person. You know, that's not even the typical person that the dealership should be advertising to. Because that's not who's going to walk into their dealership. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
And that's a really bad example of Christian stewardship, and all it does is just push that materialistic focus of Christmas into a more materialistic focus, and it leaves Christ totally out of the gift exchange. Now, I'm not saying that gift exchanges are bad, but the Christian ideal should be a balance toward charity, and the gift exchange should always be within the budget. I mean, that's our tagline there. You know, don't spend more than you have, because it doesn't really accomplish anything. All it does is give you all that stress after Christmas when you're trying to pay off the bills that you should not have racked up in the first place.
And I think that reclaiming a Christian vision goes to a bunch of other Christmas traditions. It's not just focused on gift giving, right?
No, all the traditions that we have at Christmas have a religious root. Like, let's talk about the Christmas tree. Now, the Christmas tree points heavenward, and that invites us to turn our gaze to heaven, to God the Father, to Christ who was nailed to the tree, to become the tree of life. So the Christmas tree has symbolic Christian roots also. And the lights are another thing that have symbolic Christian roots. I mean, that's a symbol of Christmas, all the lights decorating the houses. And what used to be a simple candle in the window has turned into this display of keeping up with the neighbors. And
a million lights.
Millions of lights and competing with the neighbors and all that stuff. Did you hear the story about the guy that was trying to rescue the Christmas? Did you hear that story, John?
Yeah, there was a Christmas display on the front of a house, two-story house, that was depicting
the Griswold Christmas,
or, you know,
really?
Whatever they call that.
Right.
So they had a figure hanging from the gutter, and with a ladder kind of falling off to the side. And people were calling 911. They
really?
Were trying
yeah.
to help this person.
They were
person.
Trying to rescue the person.
And, you know, they're shouting at the person. And, of course, that person, which was a dummy, wasn't responding back. And they were getting all, I mean, kudos to the people who thought there was somebody in trouble and stopped to help. They deserve an awful lot of credit. I heard on the news last night that the person actually, whose home this is, actually put a sign out front saying, this is not a real live situation. Don't panic.
He better hope that sign's not still there if he goes up to take the display down and runs into trouble. But, you know, Christ is the light of the world. And those Christmas lights represent the coming of Christ. And they're supposed to burn throughout the 12 days of Christmas. Whereas now it's all about Santa. I mean, how many yard displays have you seen where there's a snowman, there's a Santa Claus, there's reindeers, there's a dragon with a Santa hat on. There's very few displays anymore that have anything to do with angels or the birth of Jesus
or
the three wise
scene.
Men or the nativity scene.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. That
no, Archie and I were just talking about that. Right down the road from us, someone put up a nativity scene. They're not quite life-size figures, but in his front yard. And he does have the Santa Claus and stuff like that, but front and center by his front door. He has a almost life-size nativity scene.
I love it.
Yeah, I have never seen it there before.
That's
and,
good.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, another symbol of Christianity is the wreath. We get that from ancient Rome, where a laurel wreath was used as a symbol of victory, and Christians adopted that practice by using the wreath to represent the victory of Christ, the newborn king. So even something as commonplace as a Christmas wreath has a symbol that depicts the real meaning of Christmas.
You know, I think that's a fabulous thing. But, you know, there's other things, too, that are maybe a little bit, maybe even more subtle.
Okay.
How about candy canes?
How about candy canes?
Did you know candy canes were created in the late 1800s by a candy maker in Indiana, no less? And he wanted to express the holy meaning of Christmas through a symbol that was made of candy and was extremely inexpensive, could be given out. And so he took a white peppermint stick and he bent it at the end to suggest, you know, the similarity there between the candy cane with the bend on the end and a shepherd's staff. And then if you turned it upside down,
okay,
becomes a J.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Jesus. Rather interesting. And then the color white symbolizes the purity of the sinless nature of Jesus, but the red represents his blood.
See, I never knew that, and I'll bet you if you ask 100 individuals, you may find one that knows the meaning behind the candy cane.
Evelyn.
That's why I was looking at her.
But you know what I like about that? Somebody took where they were, what they had, and they made it into a religious symbol that has passed down through hundreds of years. And if we could all focus on where we are and what we have and how that represents Christ in Christmas, mm-hmm. and what our faith means to us and how we can actually live the nativity story instead of just celebrate the secular aspects of it, wouldn't we all be a lot better off?
There's no question about that.
Okay, let me throw another Christmas symbol that I see. In fact, I'm guilty of it too, like poinsettias. Is there a religious meaning behind poinsettias?
Well, in Mexico, the poinsettias, and it's actually poinsettias.
Poinsettias.
Poinsettias, which are really cool because here in Florida, they grow outside at this time of year, mm-hmm. and they're so beautiful when you see them just bunched up in yards and around the fences or around the houses.
Yeah.
But in Mexico, they're referred to as the nativity flower, and the shape of their leaves symbolize the Star of Bethlehem, and again, their red color represents the blood of Christ and the burning love of God. So that's one of the links between poinsettias and the Christmas meaning. So there's so much about Christmas that has significant meaning in our faith, and we get so off track about what Christmas really means and what's it about, and we get caught up in the busyness and the buying and the, I don't think people send Christmas cards too much anymore. It's mostly online greetings. We may be one of the few dinosaurs in the world that actually send Christmas cards. But we get so off track at this time of year, and we get the kids all hyped up about Santa. And, you know, I read an interesting article this morning about the elf on the shelf. You guys are familiar with the elf on the shelf,
very
right?
Very much so. Yep.
So the elf is watching the kids to make sure they're good. Well, wouldn't it be a better thing to teach the kids that God wants them to be good, because that's a way to honor him and really acknowledge and live our faith, rather than some weird little elf that moves around and does strange things in the house?
So
looking at too many elf on the shelf Facebook things.
Let me go back to something I mentioned a number of minutes ago, that it starts with the parents. So parents that are listening that have young children, I mean, what do you tell them? How do they start? Since, like you said, John, they grew up in that same environment about we got to go to the mall, we got to shop, we got to shop.
Yeah.
So how do you stop that trend with parents that are listening today? What can you share with them?
I would say take one thing about this year and make it about this Christmas and make it religious. So whether it's talking about the tree or the wreath or the light or the Advent.
That's what I was thinking.
It's just, you know, concentrate it could be on one thing.
Yeah, it could be something as simple as sitting down at the table before dinner or after dinner or maybe before breakfast, if everybody's at the table at breakfast, but at some time, and you just go through the Advent reflection that you can find them everywhere. I'm sure every parish is handing them out. They're all over online and stuff like that. There are a ton of different Advent reflections, and you can do that on a daily basis as a family. And what a great way to explain the meaning of what's going on through these Advent reflections.
No, I enjoyed the homily a couple of weeks ago on the first Sunday of Advent. It was the Gospel of Luke, and the priest that was doing the homily that Sunday talked about being prepared, that he's coming. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared?
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great message to start the Christmas season with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we do need to prepare ourselves spiritually as well as physically, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yes.
So I'm not dissing anything about the commercialism of Christmas or the symbols that we have, but we need to keep Christ in Christmas. We need to do all we can to fight the culture wars.
Well, in Joshua 24:15, we're told that, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's so important to be thinking about. We will serve the Lord in this season of Advent. Don't fall into the habit of calling Christmas a winter holiday. teach the children the Christian meaning behind the Christmas symbols. Keep your spending to a level you can afford. You don't need to go out and make those last-minute purchases. And do everything you can to keep Christ in Christmas.
Every year we hear the same discussion. How do we keep Christ in Christmas? Sounds like an easy task, but as we all know the reality of it, it's easy to lose sight of the true meaning. And as parents, we should do a better job of reminding our children what this time of the year is all about. And before we leave you today, let's get to one of our emails. John and Evelyn, I'm 53 and single. I've decided to stop procrastinating and do a will. How do I go about it?
The best thing to do is to get your financial statement together, along with making some key decisions, such as who you're going to leave your estate to, and then meet with an estate attorney who will draft your will. But always, always ask in advance what the cost of preparing the will is going to be. And Steve, by the way, let me put in a plug for our Set Your House in Order study and workbook. It's a great, great tool to help someone get their estate in order.
John and Evelyn, thanks so much. Now, if you have a financial challenge that you're experiencing and you'd like some advice from John and Evelyn, by all means, send their questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll be glad to send you a copy of their book, Your Money Counts. This is a biblical guide to spending, saving, investing, how to get out of debt. That book is yours absolutely free. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org and scroll down on the homepage and click on the button that says podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.